And, you know, America loves hamburgers, Mark. And, in fact, we eat about 50 billion of them every year. But how much do we really know about one of the country's favorite foods? We're going to be speaking now with Chris Carosa, author of the book Hamburger Dreams, Yale graduate, Forbes contributor, and self-described hamburger historian. Chris, good to have you here on the show.
Good to have me. Thank you.
Yes. So let me tell you, you spent years researching burger history for your book, Hamburger Dreams. You know, what is it about the hamburger that has made it such an obsession in this country?
You know, that's one of the most fascinating issues. I haven't been able to crack that case. You know, if you think about it, hot dogs were around well before hamburgers were. But if you consider what fast food is today, nobody really thinks about hot dogs as much as they think about hamburgers. So what the heck was it about hamburgers that really captivated Americans to just eat them all the time? I mean, the best answer I could have is, unlike hot dogs, hamburgers were invented here in America. And maybe it's just considered one of those all-American kind of dishes.
What's the origin of the hamburger? Like, is it Germany? Is it where did the hamburger really first originate from?
A lot of people will assume that it's from Hamburg, Germany, only because of the name. And it's funny because in the 1960s, McDonald's was doing a PR stunt, and they went to Hamburg, Germany, to present the mayor with a certificate thanking him for inventing hamburgers. And when the mayor got the certificate, he says, "We didn't do this. You guys did." So Ray Kroc, being the PR guy that he is, turned the whole thing around and made a lot of news out of it when it happened. But really, yeah, it did occur here in America. There's a lot of different competing stories about where the first place was that the hamburger was sold. And that's really the purpose of my book, Hamburger Dreams. I treat it kind of like a cold case, you know, a criminal mystery, and trying to find out the clues and where the most likely place is where the hamburger was made. And it's pretty interesting just because I went back to old newspapers and I was able to trace back the origins pretty convincingly, at least to me, that it was the first hamburger was sold on Friday, September 18th, 1885.
There you go.
Wow.
When you're preparing your hamburger, what's the perfect combination for your hamburger? What do you like on it? Is it just describe the perfect hamburger to you, being the expert that you are.
So now I'm an expert in terms of the history, not so much in the terms of
preparation.
But I will tell you, I am kind of, so being an Italian, I kind of put Italian spices, mix it into the meat, and cook it just like you would normally cook a hamburger. So it's sort of like a meatball, but it doesn't have the breadcrumbs in it. But it's very spicy, and then I just do what everybody else does, ketchup, relish, that sort of thing.
Jalapeno and provolone, that's what I put on mine.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
That's all perfect. Unbelievable. The history is incredible. This is it's right up my alley. I've been excited about this hamburger conversation all day, and I can't thank you enough for joining us, Chris. We look forward to reading your book. I am definitely going to grab that one.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
All right, Chris. Coming up at 7:49, the coach, Tom Izzo. Yeah, we're going to talk about basketball at Michigan State. Also, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs and the Final Four as well, I'm sure, and NCAA expanding. I got to see what he thinks about that. But first, Automotive Views with Mark Martinez is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org.
Ford is shedding more light into the secretive team working on arguably its most important vehicle in years. The automaker recently gave tours of its new electric vehicle development center in California, where the team is working on its new universal EV platform, which will underpin a number of models, including a midsize truck. What's most striking about the new center is just how much the group is trying to distance itself from the mothership in Dearborn. CEO Jim Farley's key card purposely didn't work at the team's first offices. Alan Clark, who came from Tesla and leads the EV team, refers to Ford only as their venture capital firm. Any longtime Ford veteran who wanted to work on the program had to be vetted, and some didn't make the cut. Ford's letting the group operate as a company within a company, knowing it needs to drastically reduce costs and speed development time if it's to compete with the Chinese. What they do in California could become the new product development standard, but first, they need to successfully launch that mid-sized truck. We'll get our answer next year. With this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.